Here we are back again at the nightclub at the end of the world, and it's looking more that way all the time. It is May the 6th, 2012. It is a beautiful day outside. I came back to do the show. I left a May Day festival at La Tierra, which is one of the oldest intentional communities here in West Sonoma County, and it was a beautiful spring ritual, right? We had a maypole, and everybody was just sun. I would have liked to have stayed, but I had to come back and be with you guys tonight. And it's really good to be living in that now, because I was mentioning it to Gary before the show started. By the way, we started a little bit late. We're going to run a little bit over. We're going to get the full hour tonight. But I'm walking around all this week, and it happens in the supermarket, or it happens in a parking lot, or it has happened several times today. Somebody will recognize me, and they'll come up with a big look of shock on their face, and they'll go, they can't fix Fukushima, can they? And somebody else came up and said, they can't grow their way out of this. They can't fix the economy. And two people today mentioned, the methane releases. My God, we've destroyed the planet we live on. So there's this awareness now that is just kind of popping out all over. And I've been feeling that too. And that's been that's been helping to make some changes in my life. We're going to talk about some of those tonight. Because we are in the age where you either evolve or perish, and you adapt or die. And you improvise and adapt, as the Marine would say, but you have to learn how to let go. And that's the hardest part for most people, is letting go of conceptions, of the way things work, of expectations. I got a few news items, but I have to tell you that I am, done reading news stories. I don't need to read them anymore, pretty much. I keep track now. But there's no point. I mean, clearly for me. Because we have, from many objective standards, we, the human race, placed ourselves in a position that it's impossible to solve at the level of consciousness that we are at the with all of our best known stuff inside the box that we live in of Cartesian tyranny and empirical ones and zeros. The big difference for me, I spent a long time in a spiritual path, but which is basically, which is something I did out of a desire to stay alive and stay sane. There was just no other choice. But I have learned how to let go of the way I thought things were going to be stable for 5 minutes, and that's the key. But there's some tough stories out here, and this one really hit me between the eyes this week. In The Economist, that's a very prestigious publication magazine, they had a chart this week up on, we had it on the World News Desk this week, causes of mortality in young people around the world. Now put that in the context of a younger generation that obviously is looking at a very, very bleak future. And when you look at this graph, it really kind of hits home. Obviously, far and away, out of about 25 countries in this chart, the United States is way at the top of the list for mortality between 10 and 24-year-olds. Traffic accidents are a big chunk. They're not the biggest. Other causes, I don't know what those are. But we have, the United States has, although it's been passed by several other countries, a very high suicide rate, but that more than five times any other country in the world, the number of people are killed by violence between 10 and 24. This is disgusting what's happening to this generation. But this graph is really revealing. New Zealand has a suicide rate in 10 to 24-year-olds twice that of the U.S. Ireland, understandably, is way up there. It's not quite as high as New Zealand. Finland is extremely high in young suicide. Slovenia. I get down to Iceland, they're about half suicides and half traffic accidents, but there is no violent crime taking young people's lives in Iceland. That's an interesting little observation. But you really start to lose your breath when you look at the second highest violent rate deaths of people between 10 and 24 is in Israel. You wouldn't have thought that. But you see also extremely high suicide rates in young people in Sweden, in Switzerland, and in Japan, of course. It's a very telling. It's sobering, but that's part of the bearing witness thing. That's part of the being aware and finding that balance to walk in between that, but understanding really what's going on out there. That, you know, all the news stories I read on CollapseNet don't tell me as much as that chart just did. But here, now here's a piece of good news. This is from Washington's blog. This will be on our world news desk at CollapseNet tomorrow morning. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon, who I've tracked for many years, I wrote about him at From the Wilderness. He's been one of the best on the Hill. I mean, he has he's shown some consistent class. But Washington's blog is reporting tomorrow, Senator, Fukushima fuel pool is a national security issue for America, all caps. And Ron Wyden said something very clearly that we've been saying at CollapseNet and I've been saying on the show nonstop, which is that Fukushima is not a Japanese problem. It is a human problem. And, that, you know, we talk some about empathic understanding and awareness. That's the key of the, that's the core of what the 100th monkey is all about. Once an empathic realization takes place across the human species that Fukushima is a problem which we must all deal with, you won't need to pass laws, you won't need to write petitions, you won't need to do anything, and we hope for that awakening, but at least somebody is actually telling the truth. So I give a big tip of my hat to Ron Wyden of Oregon. Speaking of petitions, I have to make an apology here for all of you CollapseNet members out there. I don't know who did this, but somebody put up on our homepage in the must-see videos a link to a White House petition for people wanting to shut down reactors like Fukushima. Well, that was a big mistake. What the White House does, White House doesn't generate petitions. The White House, if they want something done, they draft a bill and send it over to Congress. The petition is, that's how the Barack Obama is getting names for his election mailing list. And somebody in my company put that up there. I'm afraid probably also with going to the FBI. That should be taken down here very shortly. And, we will find and we will have a training session with the individual who put that up. In the meantime, I apologize. So that's coming down. Don't go to the White House and sign their petition and give Barack Obama your email address. That's just common sense. Anyway, here's another piece of good news, and I have been on this for a while, and I have listened to all of the people who really don't understand presidential politics very well say Ron Paul doesn't have a chance, Ron Paul doesn't have a chance. Well, Zero Hedge has done a very good story, and they've synthesized stuff from the Huffington Post and a great many other places, and this story will be on our world news desk tomorrow at CollapseNet. Ron Paul is going to the Republican National Convention, and believe it or not, it's still possible for Paul to win. That's correct. There's a lot of details in there, but five state delegations choose to nominate him. He can be nominated directly from the floor. There's all kinds of fine print, and I've known that the Paul campaign was paying very close attention to the delegates, and the Republicans are getting very nasty. So do not count him out. This is a very uplifting story to read. So, you know, I'm not going to do a lot of news tonight. I really don't want to. Once you accept certain things, you get to a place where you don't see any solution. And that's kind of like what was happening with us at CollapseNet for 2 years now. There's about 12 of us who have just given heart and soul to CollapseNet. I spent 7 days a week, sometimes 12, 14 hours a day, reading every story and screening it. And we did everything, and we got into, but what I learned from that was the spiritual answer. We survived a lot of stuff. But as I sat back and looked at the problem, one of the first things I said to myself was, okay, what am I holding on to? And what I found I was holding on to was a job that I didn't, that wasn't the best use for me anymore. And then I looked at CollapseNet, and I realized that the largest financial drain on the company was me, but if I had to work 7 days a week, I had to get paid. And I had taken salary cuts, and everybody's given up a lot of stuff. So the solution that I came to was very clear, and it's sitting very right. right now. And I think it's going to mean a lot of good things for people. And it has to do, it's put this under the evolve or perish category. We have evolved, we are. And that comes from looking at things in a different way. So very, very soon, I am going to be resigning as the chief executive officer of CollapseNet. I have given back 30% of the stock. I will now only have to, stock, I hate that word, 20% of the ownership. I will not be a majority, and I will step away from all duties at CollapseNet. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I'm going to write another book. Given where we are right now, there are major things calling me, and I have run out of the ability to bring you stories every week as if there was something we could do about these stories, kind of rectify the situation. But that doesn't mean there isn't hope. Hope comes when you get out of the box that you're trapped in. So one of the things that I wanted to do tonight was I wanted to bring on a really good friend. Wes Miller is a former assistant district attorney in Oregon. He lives up there. He's been the chief operating officer of CollapseNet since we started. He's been the backbone of the company. And very, very soon he's going to become the CEO of CollapseNet. And I asked him to come on the show tonight so you could hear his voice and maybe beat up on him a little bit or talk to him. If you got any CollapseNet questions or anything like that tonight, the number is 1-888-874-4888, or you can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. Wes Miller, welcome to Lifeboat Hour, man.
Well, thanks, Mike. Wow. you never tiptoe into anything.
Why? What's the point?
Right, exactly. We're at the end of the world, right? We're at the nightclub at the end of the world here.
That's right,
so
baby.
Got to lay it all on the table. Thank you very much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And we're going to make some big changes. Mike is still a very big part of our company, obviously. He's not leaving us. He's just refocusing his efforts on something else. So his influence will always be there, and his writing will be there as well. And I've never heard you this happy. I've known you for going on 3 years now, and I've never heard you this upbeat and excited about something. In fact, I remember when I first met you, the idea of writing a book was another book was.
Yeah, I know.
It was fighting words back then. There's no way you wanted to go through that ordeal again. But I'm happy that you've found that new focus and you're re-energized, and so are we.
When the muse comes up and grabs you by the collar, all you can do is surrender, you know? Really, Wes, I think for me, I started like this in like 1979, 1980, and I've operated for all those years since as an author and a journalist from a pure left brain side, from footnote everything, make all your facts straight, you know, da-da-da-da-da, to that I realized was the way I had to fight to get the attention or even to get my foot in the door 5, 10, 15 years ago, you know, but that's not necessary anymore, but that is not all there is, and there's a whole lot more than that, and what I'm going to get into is I'm going to be talking about the story, the spiritual story, about how I was able to survive this life that I've lived. Leaving that aside, at CollapseNet, we have created something, I think, really special. We do stuff that nobody else in the world can do. And you've got a cadre now of people who have been there for 2 years. We have to find out who put that petition up on the website. Oh, boy.
It's almost a bad joke.
Yeah, I know.
Petitions are one of the most useless things in the world right now. If they solved anything, I don't think we would have the problems we do. So yeah, we'll take that down.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, welcome to the joy of being the guy in the chair where the buck stops, you know.
As long as they don't start breaking into my house.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm not worried about that at all. In fact, I want to talk a little bit about the CollapseNet team.
Okay.
We've done something incredible with this company. It really is a unique situation that I've never seen come together with a company and that is people giving their heart and soul and mm-hmm. and working overtime, not just full time, but overtime. Luis Mora, mm-hmm. our operations manager, who's now going to take my old position as chief operating officer. This man can juggle being a full-time teacher and being a full-time a full-time driver mm-hmm. of everything that gets done on our website. Mm-hmm. He's been my right hand. As I've been your right hand, he's been my right hand. Well, and we couldn't have done it without him. And so as we step into the future here, we are scrambling behind the scenes to do some major renovations to how CollapseNet works, how the users, the members, have an experience with CollapseNet.
All right, hold on to that thought for a second, because okay. every show we're in the nightclub at the end of the world, Wes, so, and we always play a song.
Okay.
And so our song tonight, this is a new white trash song that I have never played on this show. But the title of it kind of meshed with what I was seeing in people's faces this week, as I heard them really understand and accept that all of this stuff is, you know, coming down. And I thought about, gee, it's funny what happens when you stand in the cold light of day.
You have to see it for yourself. Take a trip in Detroit down in New Orleans. Hear 100 heartbreak stories. Everyone at least 100 broken dreams. Shuttering all the windows away. Melt down, there's nothing left but one thing only. How cold it is to stay bright. Cold light of day in the bright. Cold light of day. Cold light of day in the bright. Cold light of day. I'm not running away, I'm staying. Everybody's leaving. I'm not. They're already gone. I'm staying. Everybody's left with a frown. Run away from this town. Everybody's leaving, they're already gone. Run away from this town.
Run away.
Ready to go. Run away from this town. Run away from this town.
that was a little mind stretcher called Cold Light of Day from New White Trash. The vocals were Doug Lewis and the wonderful Krista Vigard and yours truly. You can find that in 37 other originals up at newwhitetrash.com. We got to have some music with the madness, baby. We got to have something to balance this stuff out. We've got about 5 minutes before station break because we started a little bit late. We're with Wes Miller tonight, who is soon to be the new CEO of CollapseNet. Just before we went into the song, we were talking to Wes about some things that are going to start coming. Wes, take a few minutes before we go to station break.
Thanks, Mike. Yes, we are going to completely change the experience for our members. Everybody knows about Facebook, and most people have at least been on the site and are familiar with their layout. We have software on our site that's existed for a while, and it's just been kind of shoved in the back room, called the Hub, where it's a Facebook-like interface with members, where you have a wall, you can upload videos, pictures. It's a very user-friendly and network-oriented piece of software. So what we're going to do, as soon as we make this transition and work out the bugs here, as soon as a member logs in, they will go to their Facebook-like page immediately into all the recent activities that's going on. And they'll have a completely different look. That home page, once a member logs in, will go away. They'll go right into that community.
Let me interrupt you for a second, Wes. I apologize. This is my bad, and I apologize to the listeners. I put out the number, and I didn't say we weren't going to be taking calls until after the hour. So my apologies to Mark in Stensville, Maryland. After the station break, we're going to go to calls. And, Wes, I'm sorry, we have one guy who's been on hold for a few minutes, and I'd like to get him on. Greg, are you there? Is Greg there? Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. You're really into music, and I'm wondering if you've ever really listened to the band Arcade Fire at all.
Never heard of them.
Okay. Arcade Fire, they won best album at the Grammys this last year, but I first heard them back in 2004, 2005 when I was first finding out about Collapse and Peak Oil, and you were the guy that guided me there. If you listen to them lyrically, I mean, their albums talk... They have four songs on the first record that talk about localizing the neighborhoods.
What's the name of the group again?
It's called Arcade Fire. Song called Power Out. And the power's out in the heart of man. Take it from your heart. Put it in your hands. You know, is it a dream? Is it a lie? I think I'll let you decide. Just light a candle for the kids. Jesus Christ, don't keep it hid.
We can't do the whole album on the show because I got a guest on.
It is so about Peak Oil. It's so prescient.
There's a lot of that stuff. I am hearing stuff all over the place. With what I was doing, I didn't have time to play all the songs that have been sent. But we need to go back to the show. I will go check it out, and if it's good stuff, I'll bring it back and talk about it on the show. Thanks for calling. Okay, Wes. Sorry, that was my total bad. I should have said to
that's
people,
right.
don't call until after we do the break. So anyway, we're back, and now we've got about 2 minutes before station break. So continue on with what we're going to see new at CollapseNet.
Well, people have been asking us since we started for a forum, and that's so 10 years ago, really. What we have is better. It is more sophisticated, and it will engage people across the globe directly. It interfaces with the map software that we have. Talking to people will never be easier, and depending on your level of privacy selection, you'll be communicating with everybody if you choose. So we're really excited about that. We're also going to kick the doors open for content. Mike has been the backbone as far as content driving our message since we started. And while you're not going to be gone completely, we will definitely have a hole. And instead of trying to replace you, we're not going to replace you. I'm not going to be you. Nobody's going to be you.
Who would want to be me?
Right. Who would want to be you? Nobody's that freaking dumb.
I don't want to be, I want to be Fred Schmidlap or something, you know?
Right. But what we are going to do is we have a wealth of content that is being organized, sorted right now, that we will be posting quickly, and we are also extending the invitation for reporters from around the world. Send us a 2-minute video clip of what's going on in your community, what's happening. We will have some special offers too, but our biggest drive right now, my focus, because I have such an outstanding team that really knows how to run the website and get stuff done, my focus is going to be on bringing in more original content and writers. We want more voices from around the globe.
Yes.
The network part of Collapse Network, it's a homonym, right? It's not just a news network. It's a network of people, and we're going to re-energize that and focus on it in a very big way.
This is all. See, there's a big lesson in this, Wes, is that, you know, I took my last paycheck from the company in April, and from now on, all the money that comes into the company now can be distributed to the people who made it, and the people who made it now own 80% of it. In thinking about it symbolically in terms of relating to Collapse, it was very clear to me that that was the best thing that I could give you guys that would give you the best shot.
Absolutely. You know? And we've already talked. We've done so much work. We're focused, I guess, you're going down the spiritual path, and we congratulate you and welcome you on that. But we want our readers to know that reality is our agenda. I mean, we're dealing with what's the world as it is. And that's what we're going to bring to you is what's news, what's reality, what's real, and what's next. What do we think is coming around the corner? And we're not in the prediction business, but we want you to have the best information so people can make the best decisions in their own lives that they can and
all
get
right
through this mess.
So I think we're going to roll into a station break now. I see no other calls. Wes, what I think we ought to do before we go to break is we ought to have another show where after you guys have got it under your wings, like say a week or two, and just bring back all the key members on one radio show here. Let them
talk
about
it. We would love to. I would love for their voices to finally be heard, and they can talk about their experiences in developing this.
God knows you've all earned it. Jesus, you all work so hard.
We have something
so
special
long
here that doesn't exist anywhere else, and we want to make it bigger and better than it's ever been.
All right, Wes, I'm going to thank you for calling, and I'm going to come back and start talking about some other stuff. We're going to break. Let's set up that other show with the rest of the staff, and we'll do a whole show together.
We'll do. Have a great night. We finally have the first sunny day here in Oregon for quite a while, so I want to get out and enjoy it. Thanks,
Mike. Go out,
Mike,
and have some fun, man.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Wes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the Lifeboat Hour after this. We'll take your calls. Apologies to the ones who called too early. That was my bad. But we got a lot more to talk about tonight. I have some more good news. Back after this. Lifeboat Hour from a nightclub at the end of the world on PRN FM. I'm Mike Rupert. It's Sunday, May 6th, and we're in the second half of the show, and now I can get down to some meatier stuff with you guys. Here's some good news. Rupert Murdoch is not fit to run a public company, so says Her Majesty's government. Ain't it time? You know, ain't it? That was an amazing statement, but I have been following the Rupert Murdoch saga for a long time. And, of course, we'd all like to see Fox News go where it needs to go. Just extinct. It can go into the compost pile. That's fine. That's fine there. But I have linked, and I was drawing parallels over the course of the last year or so, that every time there was a blow against Dominique Strauss-Kahn, there was a counter blow against Murdoch, and I said, there's a feud on Olympus. And it was just after Rupert Murdoch was deemed not fit to run a public company, I think he's going to lose B Sky B, hoo-rah, that I saw that whole new set of allegations had surfaced in the Dominique Strauss-Kahn case. I don't know what's going on, but two really bad, nasty gods are fighting each other, and, you know, the this is a, to use an old cop line, this is where you take the loser to the morgue and book the winner, and because they got it coming. But so there are changes taking place. We once looked at people like Rupert Murdoch and viewed them as immortals, did we not? And the immortals are dying, and that system is dying, and all of that is totally ineffective. And so now I want to talk a little bit more about some of these changes. Now, what I'm going to do is real soon, I've been in touch with Joe Rogan, and I'm going to be going down to L.A. soon, hopefully next week or the week after, to do Joe, because we have to talk more about this transition, that's this evolution that's taking place with me. And I just have a great time with Joe. I mean, we have like a steak dinner conversation, and that's the beauty of sharing with another person, is that you get more meat, you get more perspective when you got somebody really good to jawbone with. I'm looking forward to that. One of the things that's always been real difficult for me is that I had to compartmentalize my life. There's a line, Henry Miller, I love Henry Miller. And one of the last lines I read from him, I had to put the book down. I haven't been able to pick him up since I read this line. It was in his letters. He talked about something called the fragmentation of maturity. And isn't that what a lot of this is all about? Everything is divided and separated and compartmentalized. You go to a doctor in corporate medicine these days, and they don't treat you as a human being. They treat you as a collective set of symptoms, and they churn and they make all the medical bills they can. And there's nobody really kind of trying to picture the whole. And that's kind of the way it felt for me. I had to lock my artistic and my spiritual side away for a long time. It's come out over the last couple of years, but I never felt united. Why is it that I have to leave something out? Why is it that in looking at the problems confronting planet Earth, our species, our consciousness, we view them only from a place from which we already know there are no answers? Empirically, if you look at the situation on the planet, you say, well, okay, it's hopeless. And yet, like I did with CollapseNet, once I took myself out of the problem and let go, a solution appeared that wasn't there. And what was necessary first was the change of consciousness before the solution could be seen. That sound like the 100th monkey to you? So I'm going to talk more about the book on Joe Rogan. The Rupert trilogy. Who would have thought? But this is going to be something that integrates stuff. Because here's a story I want to tell you that I have always known was a part of this journey that I have been on, and I need to bring that in to weave it in, because all the other work that I've done with Rubicon and the movie and the books and the FTW and the footnotes and all of that is flavorless unless it has heart, soul, and spirit and the saga of what transpired. So here's a story I'm going to tell you. Every word of the story is true, and there are witnesses. In October of 1980, I had been out of the LAPD for about a year. I resigned, 2 years. I resigned November 30, 1978. And at that time, I couldn't get a job anywhere. LAPD, FBI, CIA, nobody would hire me. And it was a very bad year because I was doing, then you didn't have computers. You typed the letter on a manual typewriter, not a word processor. You went to a copy store and, you spent all your money on. I had been causing trouble because I had found good supporting evidence that CIA was involved, and I was suffering the whistleblower treatment. And in 1980, I was near suicide. I've been near suicide many times in my life. And I was also drinking very, very heavily. I had very strong cravings at the time. And my life was destroyed. My career was gone, and I couldn't get a job. I took a job at a 7-Eleven store in September of 1980, and I got arrested my second day there for selling liquor to a minor. They just had to drive the point home, But the only thing that was keeping me alive in a picture that was abject total hopelessness at the time, and it was just the first of a long, many years. The one thing that was keeping me alive was singing. It was the only way that I could connect to anything that felt like it had vibrance, that it had life, that there was soul in it, that there was, you know, it was proof that I was alive. I don't play anything, but I was singing then at the Boathouse Restaurant on the Santa Monica Pier. It's now Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, right across from the merry-go-round. And a guy named Michael Clatis, very great guy, sang with him for a long time, was playing guitar. He played a Martin acoustic and a Moog footboard, and I went in. I was craving to sing just so that I could find a way to let some emotion out, and also I was singing for drinks and tips. So I got up and I sang a set of three or four song set. My last song was Please Come to Boston. It's a great song. And there was a piano bar like around the little stage, and I went out and took my chair, and I didn't have enough money to buy another drink, but a guy had come in and sat down immediately on my right. And the first thing I noticed about the guy was it looked like all of his clothes were brand new. And he said he'd just gotten off a cruise ship in Alaska. Now, that hit me because it had been big news that a cruise ship had sunk off the Alaska coast. I'll tell you the details of that in a minute, just a couple days before. And he said his name was Larry, and he offered to buy me a drink. I said, I'll have a brandy. He bought me a double Courvoisier, so right away I liked the guy. And we start talking, and I think we've all had this experience where you meet somebody and you're instantly an open book to them. They could ask you, you just feel complete comfort. And that's the way I felt with this guy. And after about 5 minutes, he pulled me out on the pier right outside the door of the restaurant. Now, I'm broke. I've just been arrested at a 7-Eleven store. My bankruptcy papers are being drawn up. The bankruptcy was official in December of 1980. I'm suicidal, and I got no money. And so Larry reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out. It's like a 1906 $20 gold piece. It's a proof coin, you know, mint or proof coin. It's perfect. It's worth a lot of money. And he looks at me, and I'm looking at the coin. My head's just, do what he says. And he looks at me, and he says, this is for Mike. Not for me, but for Michael Clatis, who was playing the guitar. Inside, still finishing up his set. And Larry looked at me and he said, this is for Mike Clatis, but I have to see it come to him through you. And the voice in my head just said, shut up and do what the nice man tells you to do. So Mike finished his set and came over, and I introduced Mike to Larry, and I handed Mike Clatis this gold coin. And this is a gift from Larry. He wanted me to give it to you. I gave it to Mike, and Mike thanked. There was conversation. The bar is crowded, so Mike got called away inside. And I look back at Larry with this look on my face, with the biggest WTF you've ever seen written all over my face. And Larry looked at me, and he said, you don't need it. He does. Your future is determined. Now, that happened, and over the years, it's been 30 years since then, there must have been 8, 10, 12 people I've introduced to Mike Clatis, and he's told the same story. He had the gold coin. It served him at a very important moment in his life when he was down. It was there, and it was just exactly what he needed. But that story's been confirmed. Now, if I'm a journalist, and I'm a detective, And I work with that. One of the things that I have to do is not throw stuff out because it doesn't fit my structure. And you don't think that tormented me for all the years through Iran-Contra, trying to expose CIA and drugs, through Gary Webb, and all of the years since, and all the struggles, and all the... My future is determined. Now, maybe some of you will say, well, you shouldn't talk about that. But what I say at this point is what I'm seeing with planet Earth and human civilization and our species as a whole is we can't afford to leave that stuff out because that may be the stuff that we're missing that we need. All the things that have my name on them were really the work of a great many people, events, and circumstances that led me to some amazing places. But I have to quote Albert Einstein and Carl Jung and say, once you know there's a God, it doesn't make any difference whether you believe in one. or not. And here again, I talk about spirituality. And let me give you a line from Alcoholics Anonymous before I give you the punchline on the gold coin story. So what was the point? There are a million punchlines from Alcoholics. And, you know, there's such spiritual wisdom there because the 12-step programs come from a place of people who are beyond human aid. When psychiatry, when medicine, when science says these people are hopeless, where do they go? And there are several ways to get sober. I'm not here to debate that. I'm talking about a spiritual path that leads to mysticism, which allows one to access spiritual energy in the same way one might think about plugging into a wall socket. The AA line is, spirituality is for people, religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell, and spirituality is for those who have already been there. And by spirituality, I refer to the wisdom of our elders before the human race even had a word for religion. They didn't call it religion. These are practices that I think are, I see the hunger for this coming back. There was something true and simple there. And that's where I believe I need to be spending my time now. Now here's the punchline on that cruise ship from Alaska, Larry and the Gold Coin. I'm looking at a story called the Princeton Dam Fire, history's greatest sea rescue. It happened October 4, 1980. So I know exactly, I got the gold coin on the 6th or the 7th of 1980. But it was the most successful. It took extraordinary efforts, quote, in the air, on land, and sea, plus an incredible run of good luck to save 524 people in the treacherous Gulf of Alaska. This ship was hit. It looked like everybody was going to die. Nobody was, but somehow everything came together and not a single person lost their life. And it's an amazing story. The Princeton Dam Fire, P-R-I-N-S-E-N-D-A-M, if you want to look it up. And Larry said he'd just gotten off a cruise ship from Alaska. Now, you know, hey, if I didn't believe in miracles, I wouldn't be here. Couldn't be here now. We got a call on, and sorry for talking too long, but I think I needed to talk about that because that's the way we need to start looking if we're going to find a way out of this mess we have taken this planet into. Mark from Stevensville, are you there?
Hey, Mike.
What's up, dude?
First of all, thank you very much for everything you've done. I really appreciate it. My question is kind of a basic survival question that maybe you or Wes can put up on the website. With all the radiation from Fukushima, so it's a matter of when, not if, what detector can I use to help protect myself and my family?
Okay, if you go to CollapseNet, we have in the Lighthouse directory, that's a free directory, 1,600 entries. You go there and you type in radiation detectors, we've got a full suite of listings there on what's available, what you need to look for. I have just a small passive backgrounder that detects atmospheric stuff. If you believe that you're close to, if your food, for example, is getting irradiated, might be contaminated, a handheld Geiger is pretty useful that way. There are many, many different kinds out there, but there's a whole bunch of information in the directory at CollapseNet.
I appreciate that.
All right, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Vincent from Wisconsin, you there? Vincent, you there?
Hello. Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you, man?
Hi, I'm good. I wanted to know if you knew about the website getoutofdebtfree.com or .org, getoutofdebtfree.org.
Mm-hmm.
Website, a series of letters that you can send to your bank to basically cancel your debt. You get debt collectors or student loans, you get them off your back and they stop bothering you. Have you ever heard of this?
Well, I have over the years. I've heard of a great many things that promise that. Unfortunately, many of them were seriously flawed, and the people who took those approaches wound up being persecuted rather than getting out
okay.
of debt. So I would have to look and see. We're at a point now where the system is realizing it cannot get blood out of turnips anymore, right? The system is imploding. I mean, economically, the system is imploding. We know that fascism, total repression, is just around the corner. And I wouldn't spend a lot of time worrying about that now, because stuff like that, that puts you right back in the legal system playing the games that they want you to play. And what System D, we had Robert Neuwirth on the show. He wrote a great book called The Stealth of Nations. The whole world is going to System D. They're checking out of the system. They're finding other ways to function, and System D is in full bloom. And what System D says is, I don't want to play the games with those people. And all the debt that's out here is never going to be repaid. But spending time and energy now trying to get out of debt doesn't sound as effective to me as it would be to start acquiring the hard goods that you need, start preparing for some serious challenges this year. Riots, blackouts, food shortages, things, the stuff that's happening all over the world. That's what you need to be focused on.
Yeah, well, I don't you quite understand what this website is about. I encourage you to take a look. I've used it myself because I was crushed by student debt, and I haven't made payments on my student debt for well over 6 months now. So it was a big blessing for me.
Well, I just can't speak for something I haven't examined. I just don't know.
But I
know many of these will take care of your credit card things are scams that just get you deeper in debt and have you sign in more contracts. So I have, I would have to look at it.
This is just something, you don't hire anybody, they don't do anything for you. You take care of yourself and anybody to do anything for you.
Well, caveat lector, everybody go check it out. But thank you for calling in, I appreciate it. We've only got a few minutes left, I'm going to have to wrap up the show.
Yep, thank you.
Okay. So anyway, a lot of change going on, and even though Wes says I sound happy, and I am, I'm greatly relieved because the way I've operated now, I've been relieved of that duty. I can be more useful elsewhere, and that's what I intend to be. I have to listen to the call, but I guess if I had any advice coming through this week with the awarenesses that are coming out about the fact that collapse is absolutely as real as it is, it's unpreventable, and this stuff is happening. I listen to my heart, and my heart says there's other ways to do this, and there's other ways that you can be of service. We know that, and yet on the other hand, in this search for the 100th monkey, that moment when enough people on the planet understand the size of these challenges, and when we start asking for mercy instead of stop demanding justice, when we recognize that we share all of this together, a change in consciousness can occur, and a collective change in consciousness occurred actually on September the 11th, when the collective outpouring of grief, shock, and emotion, as the Twin Towers were attacked and fell, changed the Earth's magnetic field. It's good science. So, alas, Horatio, there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in our philosophy. And what I understand is that I know that the way I had been pursuing it, there are no answers there. There's no meat. So the answer then is to let go. But you have to learn how to live with uncertainty. You have to know how to embrace uncertainty. The last thing I want to do is come on this show and put on an act. I want to bring the way I am with you that day and talk about that honestly. That's how we share with each other and we make each other stronger. And I am seeing some amazing, beautiful, wonderful awakenings out here, almost on par with all the crap that's going on in the world. So what we do on the Lifeboat Hour is we get real, we bring ourselves every week. CollapseNet is going to be emancipated very soon. I wish it all the best. And yours truly is going to be writing a book. So we will probably hear some changes in some of the stuff we do on the Lifeboat Hour, but you can rest assured of one thing. I'm not leaving you, and I ain't leaving PRN. This is a great network. This is a great show, and you guys are awesome listeners. So that being said, I think that's about enough for tonight. From a nightclub at the end of the world, this is Mike Rupert. I'm going to enjoy my freedom next week, and I'll see you then.